Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I don't want them to stop, but I just was having this testimony in my heart, and then the Lord gave you that song, so obviously this is what God wants to share. How many know that out of the mouth of babes, God has perfected praise? Out of little children. Now I encourage you to become like a little child. You may not look that altogether to the world, but I guarantee, in your Father's eyes, you'll make Him happy. He'll take pleasure. You'll be able to dance around His throne. You'll be able to just come and sit on His lap and hear His heartbeat. He desires that for us. And yesterday we had the Transformed for the Impact in Children's. And you never know what God's going to do at Transformed. The children are probably the most scripted of all because, you know, you got to keep their attention. But they did really well. But we had a blessing in the Chains Be Broken section of the day. Stephanie Williams was given a revelation of making some paper chains. And the kids put them on their wrists, and they had to wait to break the chains. Now, you know that paper chains, that's pretty hard to not want to snap them. But they did really well. They waited till the music got going. And when the music got going, they busted those chains. I mean, some were like Hulk, you know, and they were getting into it. But what happened after that is, and nobody told them to do this, they took the chains off. There's a little cross downstairs. They took the chains off their wrists, and one by one, they went and laid those at the cross. Nobody told them to do this. Out of the mouth of babes and the hearts of babes, God has perfected truth and praise. And they just laid those at the cross. Some tried to hang it on the cross. Then the music kept playing. The song was about our chains being broken, about freedom already being there. Just like Nick is the song of the Lord, free at last. Free at last. And what they did then is what really amazed me. Is that they weren't satisfied with that. They gathered around the cross, sat down, and they started tearing up those chains. They started just ripping them. They weren't satisfied with just laying them there. They started tearing them up. They started showing the real results of what happens when Jesus breaks our chains. He pulverizes them. Then I had the opportunity after that to share in the Holy Spirit. And I looked down, and all that was left of those chains was small, tiny pieces, just like right here. Praise the Lord. That was Holy Spirit told you to leave these here. And I reached over. I said, you know, all these chains are worth now is celebrating God's goodness. Is that not the truth? We are no longer bound. Maybe everything in your life says contrary, but it's a lie. If you receive Christ, it's a lie. Just face that fact. If you look bound, it's a lie if you receive Christ. Because in Christ, we're not bound. We are free. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And that's never meant more to me today than it has my entire life. Because it's not about what I see. It's not about what I hear. But it's about what He says. And what He says, how many know that what He says is the final word? There's no altercations, no changing, no altering that. It is the final word. So you can bank that. You can put that in the bank that, what's that song again? Do you have it anymore? It's hard. I know, man. You get a song of the Spirit, it's like, well, we thank you, Lord, that we're free. We thank you, God, that you have made us free. And God, I pray right now, Lord, for anyone that's in this house right now, that's hearing my voice, maybe, Lord, on the internet. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bring the revelation to their heart, no matter what they look like right now on the outside, no matter what they've been thinking, no matter what they've been doing, they're free in you, God. They're free, Lord. You see them as you see your Son, Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness they wear, not their own filthy rags anymore, Lord. So God, we thank you that we're free at last. Praise God Almighty, we're free at last. Thank the Lord, we are free at last. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Was there anybody that was a participant yesterday, child or teen, feels inspired to share what God did for you yesterday? I know that's kind of a scary thing. Scary thing for Josh to even do it. No. Oh, Pastor Gay always has the great idea. Why don't everyone, children and impact, come up? Maybe once you're up here, you'll feel the strength to share. Oh, you came up right away. You want to share, don't you? It's like, why? Yeah. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And you do not know that what you might share just might touch someone's heart in such a way that they're never the same. I know that's hard to believe, that what, little old me say something? Well, it's not just little old you talking. It's God inside of you. It's the Spirit of living God that rests and resides in you. And when you share a testimony of what God did, even if it's just, God showed me his love yesterday, you don't know if that's going to all of a sudden just swell up in someone's heart and they're going to feel the love of God, maybe for the first time, like he's meant them to feel it. How's that? Okay, so anyone want to share? All right.
Yesterday, we prayed for my pink guy, and now it's basically gone.
Whoa, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So if you have pink guy in the house, receive it. Yeah, let him touch you. But if you have sickness in your body, that's not who you are. It's not who we are. If we have sickness in our body, it's not who we are. All right. I knew you were going to share, Harper. Okay, is it okay to give you the mic, or am I going to get it back sometime?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, yesterday, I was kind of feeling queasy. I was hurting. And I talked to my dad. We went And then he prayed for me, and then my hurtness went away.
Anyone else? All right.
Yesterday, Glenn talked about like forgiveness. That was his topic. And then he talked about his relationship with his dad. And that touched me because it, with my dad, and like forgiving him is like holding me back. It's hurting myself. So I just have to forget, like Jesus did. So yeah.
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 Amen. Thank you, hon. Anyone else? I see some hiding back there. You weren't even at Transformed, and you want to share. That could be dangerous. Guess who that is, Moses. Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yesterday, Michelle talked about obedience, and I just feel like that was really, really good because I think that we all need to be obedient to everybody that is above us because there's like a chain system. Like someone's at the bottom, and then someone's right above them, and then someone's right above them, and you're supposed to be obedient to them. So, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Eve. All right.
So, yesterday at Transformed, earlier, before it all started, I had invited two of my friends to come, and they were it was like in August when they came over. That's when you guys gave us like the save the date cards. And then, so I told them, and then they both wanted to come, and it ended up that my friend, her name is Allison too, but she got sick, and so she didn't get to come, but my friend Daisy came, and she's a Catholic, and she was really nervous about coming, and her mom barely even let her come because, you know, they're Catholic, and that's mainly their religion and stuff, so I was just praying about it, and her mom ended up letting her come, and she really liked it, and she wanted to come back today, but her mom said no because they were going to go to their church. But it was really nice seeing that it's like sharing that with my best friend. It's really fun.
Amen. Amen. Take this opportunity to tell you that in Christ there's no Catholic, there's no Protestant, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. There's no slave, there's no free. In Christ, it says there even is no male or female. Go figure that one out. But in Christ, we're one. Praise God. Someone else? Nobody else. Do you want to share a little bit, bro?
Okay. Do I have to stand up so I can see what he said? I need to stand up? So I was blessed to see the students. You know, this is a tough one because it's probably, you know, to the natural eye, it's a lot like school. You sit through these, you know, classes and, you know, and you go through the day. And at the end, I even said something like, you know, you guys have like super buns or something because they were able to sit through the whole day. But, you know, it's a blessing to me to see this generation, these students that will, they'll devote their time to that desire they have for God, to fulfilling that desire, filling that desire they have for God. To me, that says a lot. You know, these young men and women, you know, no matter how shy or outspoken they are, no matter what age they are here because they're hungry for God. And that says a lot. So that encourages my heart. I was blessed to see like Daisy come, and I saw her. She really got wrecked, you know. But it's a blessing for me as a young man to see younger men and women to be blessed in that way. And we have these torn up pieces of paper, which, you know, were things in their life and that maybe they were dealing with at the time. And I wanted to make it very clear that it does not require a meeting in order to deal with those things, that God is everywhere all the time. I really want to make that very clear, because church is good because we fellowship with one another. We come together. We're encouraged by the word. We're encouraged by each other's faith. We lift up praises to our God, but it is not, God is not limited to a meeting or a building. And I want them to understand that those pieces of paper torn up, whatever was on them, it's by faith and through the Holy Spirit that they're able to walk out of here and walk those things out. And so that's important, because for all of us men and women and young students and children that went to Transformed, we have to understand that, yes, it's a symbol. We're doing an act of faith and saying, no more this, you know, and we're throwing it down. But if that's our focus and we're walking away and we're saying, I'm not going to do this, right? Romans, right? Right? Romans, what, 6 and 7? And yet we have to understand that it's by faith in the God who loves us and who brings us together in the first place. And it's through his Holy Spirit that we can walk those things out. So awesome job. And thank you, Lord. And now something else is, we got to have some jam sessions, because we're doing some transitioning in our youth. And we're going to start picking up Wednesday nights here at the church again. And we've got, it's basically going to be student led for the most part. And we had these two young ladies who actually practice and led the first song in worship. Allison and Katie led the first song in worship. And then they hung out for the rest of the sets. And then we have, you know, Ian, and we have others that we just take a quick break and start jamming out and just having fun. So it's great to see them be able to develop those skills and use them for the glory of the Lord. Use them, you know, for something that honors him. So I'm impressed. I thank the Lord, and I thank you guys, and pray and release them. All right, Father, we just pray. Will you just pray with me and reach out your hands, and let's just agree together what we want to see God do. Father, we pray, Father, over these students, over these young men and women who are growing up, God, and who are being, Father, filled by your Spirit, Lord, who are being led by you, God, who are not too young to receive the great things of God, who are not too young to be used by God in a mighty and powerful way, Lord. I pray that they will submit their hearts to you, Father, that they will be, their hearts will be molded and used, God, to do your great and mighty work, Father, that you, Lord, will speak directly to their hearts, God, and they will literally see themselves transformed, God, and see themselves contagious to the world around them, Father. Father, so God, the giftings and abilities that you have placed in each one of them, Father, I pray that you bring them out, Lord. The love that you have for them, I pray that it just flows out of them in Jesus' name, God. And everything that you showed them this weekend, God, that you will walk it out in them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Release. Oh. Children are excused downstairs. Impact. Are they heading down this morning? Impact heading downstairs? All right. So rest of your children, you can head downstairs. Now, that doesn't mean the children, adults, need to leave, but praise God. Thank you, guys. Wow, wow, wow. You guys had a song list, didn't you? I said you guys had a song list, but God had another list. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I wanted to talk about kind of what happened a little bit this morning for those of you who aren't used to it, which I think that's the first time we've ever gone an entire service and never had a song that was scripted. How many know there's music going on in heaven all the time? It is. It's going on all the time. It's nonstop. There's worship around God's throne. Actually, people who have had the privilege to go there, some by, you know, dying and then being resuscitated, others by just God gracefully taking them there.
which you know, I don't think there's any like any kind of order you can put in to get that, because I've asked a few times, Lord, that'd be really cool, but you know, it's probably going to be, I know I'll see it someday, so that's good enough for me. But they say that even in heaven, like a flower sings, like there's like you can listen and hear. So all of creation in heaven, all everything God's made sings and it's music. So what we just did this morning, and you're saying, well, I wasn't up on stage. That doesn't matter because we're all like an instrument here, and if you were just adding, you know, just a hallelujah or a thank you, Jesus, or maybe singing to some of the words that you were able to catch, you are entering into a heavenly sound. So that was inspired by the Spirit of God. Like when I asked Nick, like, can you read it? Not quite, because it's just spontaneous, and it's flowing, and it flows to His throne, and I believe it gets there. And something happens, it comes back on us, and we experience God's presence. It's like we say, you're so worthy, and He says, yeah, but I love you so much. Here's some love, you know? And how many felt His love today in a deeper way? Closer, intimate expression of God's heart. Praise God. Well, and I could just sense from prayer this morning that we weren't going to have a normal start, so I didn't want to get into announcements and clipboards and all that stuff. I wanted to keep the atmosphere that was already rolling. There's only, to the end of the year, there's only another 5 actual home prayer nights. Last night we were at James and Stephanie's, and wow, what a powerful time. I mean, really, it was an amazing experience. God was just really touching our hearts and our lives, and the music was just heaven sent, and just the fellowship. I mean, it couldn't have been any better, except a few were missing, but we prayed for them all, didn't we? Yep, prayed for y'all who didn't miss it. And so if you would like to be a host home, if you've never been one, I encourage you to do that. What happens is, if you say that you'll be a host home, about 40 people come over, and we're going to have dinner. No, I'm kidding. Yay, yeah, we're going to have dinner. No. To be a host home, all you have to do is just open up your home. We don't care what it looks like. Most people do, you know, straighten up, you know, a little bit, you know. But it's not necessary, because we're coming there for prayer and fellowship. And so it's an amazing experience. Last year, we used to have prayer here in the sanctuary, not in the sanctuary, but sometimes sanctuary, mainly downstairs at the church. And the Lord started dealing with me to take it out to the homes and to experience it in each other's homes and to take the fire, so to speak. I had a video that showed fire going all over the valley. It's amazing. I've looked now at that video, and we've been just about to all those places now by God's grace. Been in the lower valley in the Wapato and Toppenish area. We've been in the Granger, Zilla area. Been out in Sela, Tieton, Cowichi, and we've been all over. Haven't been to Moxie yet, so Moxie, we're ready for you. If you would like to, if you want to like really be proactive, you can go ahead and look at what the next year is. And if you want to put a date down on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock, you can. And I'll put I'll check that down for you. So you want to take it? So please pass that around. Now, next week, we're going to have baptisms. Really excited about that. Normally, I just announce it, but it seems with sign-up sheets, I'm able to contact people and know what's going on. So if you would like to be baptized, some children yesterday said they'd like to be baptized. One asked if it would be okay, should they tell their parents? And I said, well, probably good if you told your parents that you're going to be baptized. They're like, all of a sudden, their kid's up there. What's going on? It's like, you know, he can't swim, exactly. Good point. But yeah, I'll have a class that we'll be doing next Sunday morning at 9:30. And I was just sharing with a brother this morning, and he said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. Since I have been baptized, I have such a hunger for the Word of God. And I knew exactly what he meant, that there was like an inspiration and a drive that happened inside of him when he was baptized. And It's such a blessing to see people going to another level in God. It doesn't have to be, you know, the smoke and fire and everything that came down, you know, on Pentecost. It can just be something deep that happens in your heart, and you're changed and you're transformed. I think of Glenn just got up. Glenn was baptized in the spring, weren't you? April. And he was like never the same. I mean, his baptism was like his salvation, baptism, experience all in one, and he never looked back. He just has been moving and growing in God. And, you know, I just believe in our obedience, God does amazing things. I have my phone in my pocket. I'm afraid that's going to go off. And then next week after service is a church potluck, and we want you to please bring a dish to share. Because it's not a potluck unless you bring a pot with you. What's that? Not empty, yes, that's right, yeah. All of a sudden, empty pots, just we pray for God to fill them. And then October 31st, we're going to have a family movie night. That's at 5:30 p.m. Church will be providing just basic food. We're going to have a fun family movie. And if you could bring some candy for the kids, and we'll just kind of put all in a pot and go ahead. Oh, there we go. But we're going to make it by next Sunday if you can bring candy, and we'll make up some bags so the kids can go home with some candy. So that's all our alternative to what others do on the 31st, and we're just going to celebrate and have a good time as a family. November 9th and 10th. Is our marriage intensive weekend, which I'm really excited about that. That's going to be on a Friday night. I was supposed to have these printed off, and I couldn't get them to work. I mean, normally I'm like Mr., you know, graphic designer and everything, and I'm like, what's going on? I can't get these to print without being like bitmapped, and I don't like that. You know, I want them to be high, nice, smooth. Then I got it, and I said, oh, man, I put the wrong dates down. That's why it didn't print out, you know. That's why it didn't work. So it is the 9th and 10th, not the 10th and 11th. And we're going to start Friday night at 7, go till 9. And Saturday is 9 to 3. And that's 25 per couple. That includes breakfast, continental style, and materials. And November 11th is our chili feed and cook-off. So the fall just gets busy, busy, busy. Doesn't it? All right, well, praise the Lord. Did I cover everything? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, that's on there, but I'm like a little distracted. Thank you, everyone who came and helped, whether in the kitchen or whether teaching sessions for Impact and youth. It really makes a difference when it's not just one or two sharing, when it's the hearts of many that are coming and bringing the word and bringing an encouragement, speaking from the way that God's worked in their life. And so I want to thank everyone that came, and you know you're blessed. I mean, that, you know, I'm just wanted to let you know that I appreciate it, but God is going to be the one that rewards you, especially for us giving to those that can't give back right now, right? Amen. All right, well, where do we go, Lord? I think we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, and we'll see where we go from there. I was reading different portions of Scripture this morning, and there's so much on my heart, so much I could share about out of what I'm learning, but again, I don't like to share just what I think, you know, you need to hear. I want to share something that sparks in me. And Pastor Gay was just praying at the 10 o'clock prayer time, and she just said just a simple word. And I can't remember the exact context, but when I heard the word, I just immediately said, yes, that's what I need to share on. And what it was, the word was simplicity. Simplicity. And how many know that, who was it I was talking to? Was it, Jesse this morning? Was it said that it's all very complicated? I think, is that the word you used? Yeah. And I said, but his yoke is easy, his burden is light. It's not supposed to be a struggle. It's not supposed to be a fight, you know. And you know, he said something really good back, but I don't want to go there because then we'll start conversing back and forth. But the point being is that, you know, it's meant to be simple. I mean, if a little child is how you enter, right, into the kingdom of heaven, a little child, if that's the mindset, if that's the heart that we have to have, is how you receive things from God, that's got to be pretty simple. I mean, I was teaching the children yesterday, and it was just a Holy Spirit session, and those of us who got to teach, we're always thinking about, okay, I can't use you know, words that I'm still learning in the dictionary. I have to use words that are very simple. And I say a word, and I'm just like, okay, Lord, forgive me. I know they did not get that, you know. And so you sit there, and you try to make it. So if you think that that's how we have to enter the kingdom of God, how we enter into our relationship with God, I think we make it a lot more complicated than it is. Anybody in agreement? I think we make it so that we feel, as I was sharing a couple weeks ago, that we feel that we have things that we have to accomplish, that we have to produce, that we have to do to qualify, to make it so that we're an accepted child of God. And the thing is that there are, most definitely, and I was reading this morning, scriptures that talk about us following his commandments. There's scriptures about us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But it really depends on the heart that you're reading those from. I was sharing a little bit last night, if you're reading those as a heart of excuse my vernacular, because some may not understand, but a slave, and someone that's in bondage and burdened with a heavy load of trying to do things that make you accepted by God or even make you accepted by others, and you have this load, then when you read those scriptures, you read them through that yoke. You read them through that perspective, and you say, yes, man, if I don't keep these commandments, I don't love God, and he obviously doesn't love me. And you start feeling this frenzy of you know, rejection and lack of joy and peace, and it's not meant to be that way. It's meant to be simple. So let's read 2 Corinthians 11. Maybe this might help explain a little bit here. And again, I just glanced at this, so this is going to be like fresh for me too. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now that's powerful language right there. Paul is saying that, you know, just give me a moment here to kind of, you know, talk out of my mind, and something may sound foolish, but bear with me in this, because this is important. He says, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. It sounds like he's really concerned about them, and that they're kind of, in a way, losing their way and losing maybe the foundations of which he laid. And he says, and I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, if you think about this, this is Paul saying, I had the opportunity, the grace was given to me to speak the gospel to you Corinthians, to share the life of God that he had placed in me, that he had let me experience it. He had let me hold and taste and walk in. And I had the opportunity to take that to you. And when you received it, I was able to then say, now look it, I'm just a deliverer. Here's your husband. He's going to be with you now when I leave. He's the one that you keep your eyes on. He's the one that's going to lead you. He's the one that's going to guide you and direct you. Holy Spirit's with you now. You've now got a deposit. You've now got like a Holy Spirit's like a ring that we wear that says we're betrothed, that we're going to be married someday to the bride and to the groom as a bride. And that's hard for us men to understand. Women, like, yay, you know, but men kind of go, I'm a bride. It's like, you know, You know, it has nothing to do with your sexuality. It has to do with your position as a person in faith, that you are promised to Christ, and that he, when he went to the cross, he bought you as a bride. And I know David, he's not there right now, but he learned during our transform about that Jesus is his elder brother, and he's going to protect him, and that's true. Jesus carries many different, I mean, he's called, you know, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Everlasting Father. Those are his names. So he's well able to handle all those different roles. And one of them is that he is a groom for us. And if you think about it, why is that so necessary? Because brides do what? Keep themselves for their husband. What an idea. Instead of making it about a whole bunch of things that we have to do, why not make it about, we're just keeping ourselves for our husband someday. Pure, chaste, virgin, not blemished, in his righteousness. See, that's the beauty. He said, now get this. I'm going to have you as my bride, and you don't look that good right now, but here's all my righteousness to stay in. So when I receive you, you're worthy. Wow. Isn't God great? He is so big. His love is so huge. He is vast. He is so vast. His love will just swell you up and swallow you out. Swallow you. And just, I mean, absorb you if you'll let him. To where there's nothing that exists in you but his love anymore. But listen to this, but I fear, now, Paul, he didn't give you a spirit of fear, so this must not be a spirit of fear, this must be a fear for their well-being. You know, that kind of fear is good, you know, concern, you know. I'm not talking about, you know, like, oh, what's going to happen? I think he's just saying, I fear lest somehow, get this, somehow as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen to that. He was not all concerned that they were, you know, and you read Corinthians. They are into all kinds of junk. They're messing up. They do things and stuff. But that wasn't his main concern. Keep in mind, this is his second letter. He's winding down now. His main concern is that they were leaving the simplicity of Christ. The simplicity of what it means to be a person of faith. What it means to have a heart after God. What it means to be that bride waiting for her husband. They were leaving that. And I'm here to tell you, as I have been over the weeks, I left that. I left the simplicity of just being a son, of just being a child of God, of just being, so to speak, a bride. And I made it about what I could do to stay righteous before God. I read that command that says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Then I made his commandments about how I show him my love. Without receiving his love. Without receiving his love. Now those of you, let's just think for a moment. Those of you who have gotten married or maybe have been engaged or even had a relationship, I bet it's really difficult most of the time to have a relationship with someone unless you receive their love. Oh, see how simple it is? And we make it so complicated. We get to the place where we are doing all this stuff for God, and yet we forgot to receive the love. One of the very basics of our faith, receive his love. And, you know, we sang today, I love you, Lord. And that's true. We do love him. But our love is so shallow. It's so, you know, human and empty. Without God's love being full in us. Because we don't even see the world right. So when we say we love God, do we love God because of what we look like, everything is around us, and everything's perfect, and we love him for that? Or do we love him for what he's accomplished on the cross? Do we love him for who he is in our life? Because he's, you know, I know there's a song, I think, like Swallowed Up in His Love, I think it is, where he just consumes us in his love. See, it really depends on how we view God to how we love him back. If we love God with a heart, if we love God with a heart that is deceived, as Eve was, that's what it says there. Listen, thought I was leaving that, didn't you? But I fear somehow lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. If we get to the place where our heart is deceived, and however that happens, however you view that, whether it's you making it about what you do or you making it about what's in your life and how your life looks good, or however you have been deceived. See, I have to keep going back to the scripture. It says, if you love your brother, then the love of God is in you, and you walk in truth. But if you don't love your brother, then you walk in darkness, and you walk in a lie. And so I have to say, as I've said many times, Lord, search my heart, try me in my ways, show if there's any wicked ways in me. And over the past few months, he's been showing me that there is wicked ways in me, that I don't think right. And I know it's because, what? I can't love my brother. And why? Because I haven't received the love of God. It's simple. It's simple. When you make it about what you do, you stop the love of God from being able to just consume you. When you make it about what you can do for God, you can't receive. And keep in mind, this is what Paul's talking about. He says, listen, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. So he's saying here that this deception that has come through the craftiness and cunningness of the enemy. See, the enemy does not want us to be whole. He does not want us to be complete. He does not want us to be a chaste bride, a virgin for Christ. Because when we're in that state, we love with purity. We see God with purity. Not just God in the heavens, but we see God in others with purity. Because when you have the love of God, you see others with the love of God. I know I've used this illustration before, but this is a different one. For those of you that have seen The Father of Lights, just bear with me. Those of you who haven't, need to get the movie. And I don't have it back yet from the last people I lent it to, but I'm sure I'll get it back real soon now that I said that. So if you would like to see that, just let me know. It's a DVD, and it's Josh actually owns it, but he hasn't seen it in months. So anyway, and he's fine with that. But there's a scene in it, I don't want to give too much away, where a couple are just your ordinary church couple. They're actually the last ones in, first ones out. So they were like a good inventory system. and they basically, you know, were just, you know, existing as Christians, pretty unfulfilled in from their own speech. And they got touched by God. And God supernaturally put them basically in a place where they abandoned everything in their life willingly by changing their hearts and filling them with his love. And they end up loving what would be considered the most unlovely, I'm not going to give it all away, in the world. And they don't just take care of them. No, they love them. And when they love them, you can tell that they know the love of God. Now see, Some would say, well, you know, I don't want to judge myself. Well, I don't want to be condemned. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us saying, okay, if this is possible for someone else, maybe that means it's possible for me. Maybe that means that I can receive more of God's love. The simplicity of God's love. See, when you don't make it about God's love and you make it about everything else, you're deceived. You're deceived. I'm deceived. When we make it about anything else other than his love, we're deceived. Will you please turn with me? Because I can see people going, that's not true. It's like 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 1. I mean, verse 1. Chapter 1. Yeah, how about that? 13, chapter 1. People who are following on the internet are like totally confused by now. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have a gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Do you guys hear that? If you give all your things to the poor, if you have the kind of faith that you can move mountains, you know, like Mount St. Helens, go fly into the sea, or speak prophecies that literally sound like God himself was speaking, or have knowledge of things that were going to happen tomorrow and you told about it, but you don't have love, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I think the song you were telling me about this morning says, you're bankrupt. You're bankrupt. And for those of you who don't know what bankrupt is, that means that you don't have any money, you don't have any assets, you don't have nothing. So some would say, okay, so how do I do this? Well, love is patient. Okay, so now I got to start being patient. Okay, so that means I got to start not tapping my foot as much when I'm talking to somebody, right? Well, love is kind. Okay, now I got to, how can I be more kind? This is what I did. How can I be more kind? Let's see, kind. What does kind look like? Okay, kind looks like this. So I would build this list of what it looked like to have love. Anybody following me? And guess what? When I failed, I was condemned. I felt bad. I said, I got nothing. Because without love, it's a vicious cycle when you try to follow a list. But guess what? Now, I'm just saying, Lord, you love me. Just telling you what's working for me, family. You love me. You love me. I don't know why you love me, but you love me. The other morning, I was just laying in bed, and I got up, you know, Gay had taken Tim to school, and it was about 7:30, and I was just laying there. I said, wow, Lord, you love me. You love me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died for me, Jesus. Thank you. You made me part of the family of God, that I can talk to you, that I can experience you. And I just started saying what I've always known. I just started saying it back to him and getting my heart to believe it. Getting it from here to here. It's a long ways, guys. It is a long ways from here to here. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, sometimes a lifetime. Praise God, though, that the Holy Spirit that's moving on the earth right now. I was kind of getting a song of the Lord, and it never really opened up to be able to sing it, but there's a new spirit rising. There's a new spirit arising, and it's the spirit of sonship. And it's not just here. It's all over. The voice of sonship, the voice of being the children of God, the voice of being loved is being sound throughout the earth in a powerful way. And why? Because he loves us. And he wants us to know his love. He wants us to abide in his love. He wants us to rest in his love. And when we abide in his love, as 1 John says, we abide in him. How easy is that? And when we abide in him, guess what? We stay chaste. and pure and holy and wait for our groom. Doesn't have to be complicated. The gospel is simple. We've made it complicated. We've made it hard. We've made it difficult. We've made it almost like someone has to go through the eye of a needle to get saved. Well, maybe not get saved, to stay saved. How about that? To stay saved. We've made getting saved just real easy. I just say a prayer. Forgot to tell them that now they're following God all the rest of the days of their life, by the way. That's what that prayer means. Oh, and that now everything you own is God's. Which is really good. Because, I mean, everything I owned was, you know, tainted with the world. But when God became my father and the one who, I think someone said, owned me, everything that I had a hint of heaven on it. Thank you, Lord. So I just want us to remember that there is a freedom for us to walk in. It's not just a freedom from our sins, not just a freedom from bondage and chains, but it's a freedom to be a son and a daughter of God. It's a freedom to live without condemnation and guilt and shame. It's a freedom to look your Heavenly Father in the eyes as we were encouraged to today and see Him as a Father with outstretched arms waiting to embrace you. And if that's difficult for some to picture, just believe it until you receive it. Because it's the truth. It is the truth. Jesus is still extending out His hands in intercession for us before the throne of grace, constantly being our advocate before the Father, saying, Father, you don't see them, you see my righteousness. And when we come to Him, everything that He sees about us is in Christ's righteousness. And He says, I see, son, I see. They're just like you. They're your bride. And someday you'll gather them to yourself. They're your brothers and sisters right now. And you're with them. You're never leaving them. You're never forsaking them. You're giving them everything they need. Giving them all of heaven. Everything that pertains to God and life is inside of them because of what you've done, son. Because of what you gave up. What you laid down freely. I see. What do you think it means when He's making constant intercession for us? He's there. He's our replacement before God. And when we go to God, He sees Jesus. Yes, He has an intimate communication with us. He knows the things in our life. But as far as the way that He sees us from His perspective, we are righteous. We are holy. We are pure. And anything that we do outside of that, listen to this. This is amazing. I'm going to finish with this. This is a little bit of what I've been learning, but the Lord's let me sneak it in because He reminded me of it. I was sharing this on Wednesday night, and I'd never read it this way. Again, when you start reading through the eyes of a son, you see things totally different. I was telling him, you know, for years I thought Romans 7 was our excuse of why we're bad instead of the reason why we're free. Ever read it that way? The reason why we're free from Romans 7. I mean, we always get to 8 and, oh, Jesus saves us from this horrible man that I am. But no, listen to this. This is Romans 7. Oh, where can I start? I'll start at verse 16 because I don't want to get into all of it. But if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good. I lost it here. Just a second. What scripture am I? Sorry, I hit this. I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it. Ah, now, that's the first time I ever saw that. Do you guys hear it? Things that I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, those things I do. I always looked at it like, well, Paul, you're just like me. You don't have, you know, it's just the lot in life that we're left with after we get saved. This sinful nature is just there and we got to deal with it and we try to crucify it and all these things. But listen to this. This is identity. Now, if I do what I will not to do, if you are doing things that you really in your heart don't want to do, listen to this. It is no longer I who do it. It's not his identity. Even though he still did them, if his heart was to say he didn't want to do them, it's not who he is. We've made it about who we are based on what we do. Do you see the deception? The simplicity of the gospel we've gotten away from? When we have made it so that we do these things and we go, oh my goodness, look what I've done. Oh, how terrible I am. Oh, God can't even look at me. I can't even look at myself. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to talk to anybody. I can't believe I've done this. Oh, why did I do that again? Paul's saying, when you feel that way, that's not you. It wasn't him. You're not getting it completely. In other words, when you do something that your heart does not want to do, it's not who you are that's doing it. It's sin in you that's doing it. Sin is separate from you. You have to understand that sin nature is not God nature. Now, we've been taught that when we have sin, obviously God's not there. I don't know exactly how we picked up on all that because that's really not the truth because he never leaves us or forsakes us. He said that. Holy Spirit's with us when we do those things. But Holy Spirit also knows that we're a new creation. See, when we were made new, we were made new. We weren't made new temporary. We're not new creations just until we mess up. Then we got to go back to square one. We're new creations from then on. So what tags along then is a sin nature. And I do not have time to go there right now, but, huh? Do an illustration? I did. She loves illustrations, but she's got, I've got five right now. Tag team. We've talked about that before. Take it. Really? You ready? Okay, here we go. She can turn that on, can't she? Yeah, you can.
Stephen, can you come here? Yesenia, can you come here? Okay, he's God.
Oh, wow.
And this is Stephen. And Yesenia, just stand right in front of Stephen. Just right in front of him and face out. And just back up just a little bit. Okay, this is Stephen. Sorry, yes. This is sin in Stephen.
Oh, boy.
This is God. Stephen has asked Jesus to come into his heart, right?
Right.
But this sin nature is still in him. So when sin does something, his identity is still in God, even though he still has this tagging around with him.
Amen.
So it's not who he wants to be. It's who his nature is. But this identity is in God. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Sure.
Now his eyes are open to see it so that the change can take place.
Amen. Amen. That's right. As this truth comes, sin will lose its hold on you. Because what ends up happening is you don't recognize sin anymore as something that you're bound to be with, you know, that it's just something, you know, you just get control over. You see sin, sorry, Yesenia, as an entity that you don't have to feed, that you don't have to focus on. That's why we turn our eyes to God. That's why he means he'll keep our mind in perfect peace when we set our mind on him. That doesn't mean just like think of just like heaven and clouds. That means think of him as his righteousness, as his holiness, as his love, as his goodness, as his care for our lives. And we think about that stuff, sin just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Now guess what? I'm going to get to it. I wasn't going to, but she did. But guess what? When we make it about what we look at and what we try to do, in other words, when we try to make it so what we are going to do is good, sin is activated. Yeah, listen to this. I've got to find it here. Okay, verse 7 of Romans 7. What should we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness, which is wanting somebody else's stuff, unless the law said, you shall not covet. But sin, you're not here anymore, you're singing, but sin takes the opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So what happens when we make it about what we do? You're empowering sin. When you make it about him, sin's defeated. Sin is disarmed. You know, when we are buried with Christ in baptism, it says that we're dead to sin. That sin no longer has dominion over us or authority over us. So how does it get it back? He tells us here, we focus on the law. We focus on rules and regulations, what we do and what we don't. It's almost like this. It's like if I tell you to not think of a 19, well, if I go too late, nobody will be able to picture it. How about this? A McDonald's Big Mac? Is that still, I don't eat hamburgers anymore. Still around, Big Mac. Do you get, are you picturing the Big Mac? Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Are you picturing it? Yes. Now if I tell you, don't think about that Big Mac anymore. Do not think about that two patties, special sauce, the lettuce and the cheese. Don't think about that. What are you thinking about? You're thinking about Jack in the Box, because I don't like Big Mac. The point being is, what we focus on, guess what? That's what we start to picture. So when we focus on our sin, our faults, our failures, our lack, guess what we see? And guess what we do? And guess what gets strength? Our sin nature starts to get strong, starts to push us around. Starts to keep us from God even. Wait, no, I want God. No, you don't. You don't want God. There could be some really good illustrations here. Now, Stephen would look weak because he'd be pushed across the stage by Yesenia, but he'd probably let her do it. He's a good guy. Yes? Someone say something. Praise God. All right, well, let's stand. To be continued. When? Well, the Lord knows. But I want to give us an opportunity. Oh, you have something, huh? Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
We're also going to pray for Chuck Turner. And Chuck and Debbie are family members. They haven't been to church for a lot of years, but they are close in our hearts. And he's being rushed right now to the hospital with appendicitis. So, Lord, we pray right now, God, that you would just touch Chuck, God, with your hand of grace and mercy. And, Lord, we pray, God, what the enemy is meaning for evil here, God, you would turn to good. Lord, that you would allow, Lord, his heart to look to you, allow his eyes to turn to you, look up to you, God, and receive, Lord, your grace. Receive, Lord, your healing. Receive, Lord, your restoration, God, you want to bring to his life and his family's life. Lord, we pray that you would just allow, Lord, him to experience your love right now, Jesus. Father, just flood his heart with your love. Lord, this is a scary time, Lord, we pray right now, God, that you would just let, Lord, your peace that passes all understanding guard your son's heart and mind in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, let this family, Lord, become who you've called them to be. Let the destiny of God that's been planted in them be birthed deep, Lord, in these coming days, Lord. And let them rise up, God, and know you, Lord, as their one true God, their Savior, their Lord, and their Father of lights, Lord. And they receive everything they need from you in Jesus' mighty name. I want to encourage you to continue to chase after God. But don't do it in your own strength. Do it in his strength. Just rely on him. Rest in him. You have to, at home, wrap your arms around you and say, Lord, you're hugging me. Don't believe what you see with your eyes. Don't believe what you heard with your ears. As it comes to your actions and your conduct, believe what God says. 2 Corinthians 5, I think 21 or 22, something like that, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you are righteousness in Christ. And you don't have to be the same. And sin no longer has dominion over you. You are free. Just as those kids tore up those, just celebrating your freedom. Matter of fact, how about this? If you do something that reminds you of your old nature, turn to God and say, I thank you that that's not who I am anymore. I thank you made me a new creation. You made me righteous in Christ. And that's just baggage that's going to be left in the dust. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. If anyone needs prayer or anything, please come up.
Okay, Mr. Angelo, to give to Tara.